Welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Hosted by Beth Burschak, with expert advice from Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney and retirement and estate planning expert. Jim is also the author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. To find out more about his book, his practice, Lang Financial Group, and how to secure Jim as a speaker for your next event, visit his website at retiresecure.com. Now, get ready to talk smart money.
We are talking smart money tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm Beth Burschak with Jim Lang, CPA attorney, best-selling author of the book Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. And we have a very special guest joining us tonight, too, Bob Keebler. Bob, are you on the line?
Yes, good evening, Beth.
Hi, Bob. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Bob, this is the way that Jim describes you, practically a legend in the CPA community.
Well, it's very gracious on his part. A little overstatement, maybe.
I don't think it is. I've been following Bob's materials for years and years, and he just keeps coming out with wonderful information for CPAs and clients alike.
Actually, Bob is author and co-author of several books, including The Professional's Guide to the Roth IRA. And I have to point this out, too, because this is a huge honor. Bob Keebler, CPA Magazine named you one of the top 100 most influential CPAs in America 4 years out of the past 6 years. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We have a lot of ground to cover today. We're going to be talking about, I know both of you are very big supporters of Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions. We're going to be getting to that, talking about how to protect your assets. I also want to give a phone number here because we are taking questions live. We've had a couple by email that I'm going to get to later. The studio line is 412-333-9385. If sometime during the next hour you have a question for Bob and Jim. And we want to start with something called tax loss harvesting. And Jim, if you could first explain exactly what that term means.
Well, I'll take the first part, and then I'm going to let Bob do what is very current. Tax loss harvesting traditionally is something that either CPA firms do or sometimes investment advisory firms do, which is basically a system of offsetting gains and losses. So let's say for discussion's sake that you have sold a stock that you have a substantial capital gain on, and if you don't do anything, you're going to end up paying a capital gain on it. But you also had some stock that lost money in the market, and now, of course, we have a lot of losers, that we will strategically sell that stock for a loss to offset that gain. And that's typically done at year end, and frankly, there's a little bit of an art and a little bit of a science to that, and I think that good CPA firms that are engaging in tax planning for their clients and good investment advisory firms that are also doing tax loss harvesting for their clients is very common. So just for example, my wife sold her interest in a building, and there was a very substantial capital gain. But she also had some investment losses, and we sold the investment losses that offset the capital gain in the building, and we didn't pay any capital gains tax. Now, when I was talking with Bob about what we were going to talk to today, he actually mentions a strategy that we are just starting to use that I think is a great strategy, which is not tax loss harvesting at year end, but actually tax loss harvesting now. And I thought maybe I would turn that over to Bob to let him explain what he is doing, because actually we're doing the same thing. This has happened a number of times, by the way, where Bob and I independently have both either come up with on our own or read the same sources and are doing some of the same things in our practices. But Bob stole my thunder on this one. I thought I would let him tell our audience what he is doing with tax loss harvesting in the middle or even before the middle of the year.
The key is really to take these losses at their deepest point without getting out of the market. So, for example, simplistically, if a person owned shares of Coke that were at a loss, they might sell the Coke knowing that they could get back into it 31 days later, but in the meantime, they might buy Pepsi. And they're trying to protect, Jim, their market position while harvesting the gain. Because the worst thing that can happen is I sell out, like if somebody had sold Bank of America 30, 40 days ago and thinking they'd get back in, they would have missed a great run in the stock. And you don't want to miss the runs in the stock. So what we like to see people do is very wisely get out. For example, if they're in mutual fund one and the mutual fund company has 20 funds, you might have them buy fund two, the closest thing to the risk profile, and hold that for 31 days and then go back. So we're pretty aggressive on that right now, because I think what happens is, with any luck, the market is at a lower point today than it will be in December. And the problem with harvesting all your losses in December is you run the risk of being out of the market. And you never want to do that. So we want to very slowly and methodically throughout the year harvest our losses. Sometimes people will double up. If they have 1,000 shares of a stock, they might jump up to 1,500 shares for a short period of time, and then sell 500 of those after 30 days. These are strategies people should review with their stockbrokers and with their CPAs, but you definitely don't want to be caught at the end of the year with capital gains on your tax return and capital losses on your brokerage statements.
Now, Bob, what if you end up doing some of these strategies and you accumulate a lot of losses and it turns out that there aren't a lot of gains? And is there any tax law change that might make this a beneficial thing to do now as opposed to year-end?
Right now, we are not expecting the Obama administration or Congress to bring forth any change in the area of the limitation. Right now, I can only use $3,000 a year of my losses. So if somebody has $500,000 of losses, it's going to take them, 167 years to burn up those losses.
It could happen, Bob.
It could happen, but in reality, what you'd look for, if somebody has losses they will never utilize, there are very sophisticated transactions they can work on that would allow them to change ordinary income into capital gain. But most of that is, really very upmarket transactions. We could, at some point in time, we could talk about those, Jim.
I actually wasn't fishing for anything that deep. I was actually fishing for the capital loss carry forward laws. In other words, saying that if you have extra losses, that you could carry them forward into the future.
Right. And, right now we have a lot of real estate clients with losses. They are selling property to their children because their losses will offset the gain on the sales of their children, and then their children will begin to depreciate the property again. And, again, there's some really tough rules there under the code. But the point is, if you have any type of loss, to sit down with your CPA and try to figure out how to efficiently utilize that loss.
Bob, Jim, is this unusual just because the market is down? Have you always been doing this during the course of the year, or is this really a new strategy?
To some extent, the strategy has always been there, but we've never had to utilize it as much. Because most people, Beth, if they have $50,000 of losses, in their patient, they'll eventually burn that up. Or if $25,000 of losses, they'll eventually burn that up. But when somebody suffers a loss of 50% of their portfolio, it just requires a little bit more aggressive position. And, we went through the fall with people denying that their portfolios had fallen. Then people were angry. That was the angry stage, is when you saw all the activity with AIG. And now we're into that stage of people are beginning to cope with the problem of, okay, what do I do? I have to make my money last. Now I have these big losses. Is there any way I can utilize these losses?
And so you really need to see a professional, too, a financial professional. This isn't something you want to try to, because the way you were describing it a few minutes ago, Bob, where you were saying, take a look, get out for 30 days, come back, it sounds intense to try to do that on your own.
Of course, it depends on the amount. If you're a 28-year-old and you're right out of college and your losses are $10,000, you could probably depend on casual advice. But if you're a 68-year-old and your losses are $400,000 or $500,000, you want to sit down with somebody like Jim Lang or like your CPA and figure out, how is this actually going to work? Because the code is, the tax code's complicated. It's nothing that anyone doesn't know. But, for example, the losses on my securities, I cannot use those to offset my income from my job except to the tune of $3,000. Or if I have other ordinary income, oil and gas income, I can't use that to offset.
And I think one of the points of doing it mid-year is to lock in the loss. So let's say, for example, you do nothing and you wait until later on in the year. Well, maybe the stock price goes back up, and if you sell at that point, the amount of loss that you have to carry forward in the future would be a smaller amount. And in the future, if you do make some sales for some gains, you won't have those losses to offset those gains. One of the beauties of Bob's strategy of doing this while the market is at the low point is you will have capital loss carry forwards that you can use in the future to offset future gains, which hopefully are going to come back again at some point.
And the strategy that we're talking about is tax loss harvesting. We're with Bob Keebler today, who is our guest tonight on the Lang Money Hour. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more from Bob and Jim on the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking more smart money, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm Beth Burschak with Jim Lang and our special guest tonight, Bob Keebler. Bob, you're checking in from Wisconsin, right?
Correct.
Okay, 412-333-9385 is the studio line if you have a question for Bob or Jim. Now, I know that both of you, one of the strategies that you both use in your practice, Roth IRAs, Roth IRA conversions, I think we need to start from square one on this one and just explain, first of all, the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA, and I'll let you handle that one, Jim.
Well, I would say that the best way to think about Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions is with a Roth IRA conversion, you pay tax on the seed. In other words, you're taking a chunk of money in your IRA, you are paying tax on it up front that goes against everything that CPAs and financial advisors have done for years. In other words, we've always been wanting to defer taxes, but you pay tax up front, so you're paying tax on the seed, and then the Roth IRA grows income tax-free for you, for your spouse, for your kids, if you die with your Roth IRA and you leave it to your kids or even for your grandkids. And all those distributions, including the growth on all that money, will grow tax-free for literally generations. So it is the basis of a tax-free dynasty.
And before we get back, we have a question, actually. This is Bob from Bethel Park who has a question on Roth IRAs versus Roth 401ks. Is that your question, Bob?
That's right, Beth. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello there, Bob.
I recently been told by our employer, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here in the Pittsburgh area, that they will not this year be matching our 401k contributions. And I was talking to a friend, actually been listening to your show. It's a very good show. I want to comment, too. But I've been meaning to ask this question of you guys. I've been told by my friend that I might want to reconsider my priorities as far as funding, first, my Roth contributions, before moving into 401k. I'll be honest with you, the economy being what it is, I am in sales, and it has affected my income, so I don't know if I can fully vest both this year, but I just wanted to know what your opinions were about, you know, whether my priority, now that I know it's not matching the 401k contribution, should I consider maybe doing my Roth investment this year and then do the 401k once I've fulfilled, you know, my max on that?
Okay, let's see what both of you think. Bob Keebler, why don't you go first?
Well, what, you know, there's going to be no match. So you're looking at a down income year. In the future, your income will be higher. You may well look at utilizing the Roth 401k element to your plan. That may be the most effective way to go. Now, some people will very carefully put some in the Roth and some in the regular IRA, and depending where your tax brackets fall. And let's say that, you know, $10,000 was in the 33% bracket and the rest was in the 28. You might put $10,000 into your regular IRA to reduce your taxable income, putting the rest into your Roth IRA where the value isn't so great. So you may want to, you know, look at that strategy, because a lot of clients will split between the two. I personally am putting 100% of what I make in the Roth IRA because a Roth 401k, because I know that, you know, going forward, that's going to be the better place for my money.
Jim, do you have anything to add? It's like Bob and Jim. Like, okay, shifting over to Jim on this one. Can you answer Bob from Bethel Park? Is there anything else you can add?
Well, first of all, I love Bob Keyboard's answer because he hit the nail on the head when he said the key is tax brackets. And I also think that his idea of potentially doing some in the Roth 401k and some in the traditional 401k is very good. I'll take it a step further, and I'll give two different examples because we didn't ask how old you are, Bob. Maybe that's what
let's
I'm
ask
about,
Bob.
I got a timeline about 15 years, I'd say, to retirement. I'm hoping, God willing.
All right. Well, with a 15-year time horizon, I would probably, everything else being equal, I would probably lean in favor of the Roth 401k. Now, let's say, for example, that you said, hey, I'm 65 years old, I'm at the top of my earning capacity, and I'm going to be retiring in 2 or 3 years. In that case, I'd probably prefer that you do the traditional 401k, get a full income tax deduction for it now, and then maybe make a Roth IRA conversion after you retire when you're in a lower tax bracket. But frankly, Bob Keyboard hit it right on the head when he said that the key is tax bracket. Now, he was concentrating on your tax bracket right now, and I might be, let's say, the one other way to consider it is what is your tax bracket now compared to what it will be when you eventually take the money out. And the longer your time horizon, the more I am happy with it in the Roth 401k.
Very good, very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I think that's great advice, and I'll keep listening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bob from Bethel Park. We appreciate it. If you do have a call, it's 412-333-9385. Jim and Bob, you both mentioned the Roth 401k, but not every employer offers a Roth 401k. In which case, what would you have done there?
Well, in that case, I would probably have maxed out his Roth IRA. We don't know how old he is, but if he is 50 or older, he could put $6,000 in. If he is 49 or younger, he could put in $5,000 in his Roth IRA. If he has additional money that he can afford to contribute to his retirement plan, then he could go into the traditional 401k, even if it isn't matched.
Okay, Bob Keebler, same advice?
Well, exactly the same. And if you can't do if your income's too high, then you do non-deductible IRAs this year, and you'll, depending on your overall IRA, size of your overall IRA portfolio, you'll flip them into the Roth in the future.
Bringing up one of my favorite topics.
You just did it, Bob. You just opened the door on that one, Bob. It is one of Jim's favorite topics, Roth IRA conversions, and the big change is coming up in 2010.
We literally have one of the country's leading experts on a particular area that very few advisors or CPAs or IRA experts talk about much, which is the non-deductible portion of the IRA. Now, a lot of our older listeners for many years put $2,000 into an IRA even though they weren't allowed to deduct it. And then for some reason, a lot of people kind of forgot that strategy. And what a non-deductible IRA is you don't get a current income tax deduction, but the money grows tax deferred. Conceptually, that is the same thing as after-tax dollars inside a 401k. So let's say for discussion's sake that Bob, our caller, was in a different situation. He was a high income tax earner. There was a match on his retirement plan, and the amount that he was allowed to contribute to the plan exceeded $22,000, and he wanted to contribute that, but he would only be allowed to deduct $22,000. In that case, he still could, if the plan allowed it, put more money in but not get a tax deduction. So a lot of people, a lot of mid-level managers, a lot of executives have after-tax dollars inside their 401k, conceptually the same as 401 as a non-deductible IRA. Bob Keyboard has done some very interesting work on converting a non-deductible IRA and a after-tax dollars inside a 401k to a Roth IRA without having to pay the tax. And there's some new laws on this particular issue. So I think with that build-up, maybe I'll ask Bob to to tell us some of his strategies, which I think are terrific, by the way. I've read them. Both Bob and I have written on this topic. And then also what the impact of the new laws on this area are, if that's okay with you, Bob.
Sure. Let's take the simple case. You have a young person who's doing very well financially. They're earning too much to put money into the Roth IRA, but they have no other IRAs yet. So they put their $5,000 a year in this year, and they'll do the same thing again next year. Now they have $10,000 in non-deductible IRAs. And let's just say that it doesn't grow. It's at $10,000 next June when they decide to do a conversion. They can turn that into the Roth IRA and not pay a penny of tax because they have what's called basis. Their basis is that $10,000 they already invested. And then going forward, all the growth, 100% of the growth from here until the day their grandchildren take it out of the Roth IRA, is tax exempt. So if they took it all out, if say they're 30 years old, if they take it all out 40 years from now when they're 70, they pay no tax on the growth. So it might have doubled or tripled in value in the meantime. So, you know, it just all depends. But you really have to look at these strategies. Now, you also have to recognize these strategies can vary from husband to wife. Even though they're filing a joint return, maybe you have a couple in their 40s, and the wife has switched jobs, and she has $200,000 in an IRA that has, you know, no basis. But her husband's never switched jobs. All his money's still in a 401k. He can do this strategy and still doesn't have to worry about it. If his wife does the strategy, Jim, we get into a very complex rule where you have to take into account all the IRAs, and then this transaction doesn't work.
Right, right. What are some of the strategy of converting a non-deductible IRA to a Roth IRA? By the way, I've run a few numbers on that. And in Bob's example of $10,000 at 8% for 40 years, the family's better off by $100,000. So it's a substantial difference. But let's take the more complicated case. What are some of the ways that people can do a Roth IRA conversion with some of the after-tax dollars inside their 401k or IRA? What are some of the strategies that you have been using rather than just saying it can't work? And I'll even give you a little license and say that we could potentially have some self-employment income, and I'll give you the added flexibility of being of someone who can set up their own one-person retirement plan.
Sure. What happens is, you know, if a person's self-employed, they can obviously set up their own retirement plans and, you know, put away money in those plans. Now, they are then allowed to convert what's in those plans, if the plan is drafted correctly, into the Roth IRA, or if it's not drafted correctly, they can always take it from the plan, roll it into an IRA, and then convert it to a Roth. So, but what we like to do is try to get basis in the transaction to reduce the overall effective tax rate. Now, the other thing that happens is, let's say that I had $200,000 from my previous job. If I can roll that back into a pension plan, then that goes away for purposes of the Roth conversion tests, if you will, Jim. And if I convert after-tax dollars at that point in time, I'm in awesome shape because I'm not paying any tax on that conversion. I don't know if that answered your question or if it came close.
Yeah, it does. It's such a beautiful thing, and so few advisors and so few people are aware of it. So let's just say, and I'll give you some numbers that I get that are somewhat typical. One of the big companies around Pittsburgh, I'm not sure which ones would be the equivalent in Wisconsin. And by the way, I think Pittsburghers have a natural affinity towards people to Green Bay because you guys play hard-nosed, cold-weather football just like we do.
Well, I live about...
It's tough. It is tough football.
We live about a mile from the stadium, from Lambeau Field, and just to rile your viewers up, there's no doubt in our mind that Green Bay is the center of the football universe.
Bob, that's crazy talk. That is you do realize who won the Super Bowl this year.
I do realize.
Okay.
No, I will grant Bob something. Green Bay used to have a good football team.
That was a long time ago. Hey, we need to take a quick break, and we will be back. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Jim Lang, Bob Keebler, the Lang Money Hour.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Beth Burschak, Jim Lang, CPA attorney, best-selling author of the book Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later, and Bob Keebler with us as well. And we're going to be getting back to some more strategies. I do want to mention, we've been doing a seminar, Jim, that has been so successful, this workshop. We just had one on Saturday. It's called Two New Tax Laws Create Shocking Opportunities for Wealth Preservation. And you two were just touching on Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions. That's what this workshop is all about. And we have another one coming up in June. I'm about to give you a phone number so you can RSVP. We already have some RSVPs, and I have to tell you that these workshops have been filling to capacity. It's free. We're doing this on Saturday, June 20th at Crown Plaza, Pittsburgh South, which is right across from South Hills Village. We'll have two sessions, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., 1 to 3 p.m., and you can register at 1-800-748-1571. That's 1-800-748-1571. And by the way, if you come, you get Jim's book, and we had Larry King, who did the foreword, and Ed Slott did the introduction. Great testimonials from Charles Schwab and Jane Bryant Quinn. So you get that book if you come to the seminar, and it's coming up on Saturday, June 20th. Now, getting back to what you were talking about, and it was a strategy that you both claim a lot of advisors don't know about.
Well, I was going to give Bob the example of one of our Westinghouse employees, and by the way, it could be actually any company. And let's say for discussion's sake, the entire 401k is $1 million. And let's say that $50,000, and that's not atypical from what I see, is after-tax dollars. So, Bob, what would you do if somebody came to you with a million-dollar 401k, $50,000, or even, let's say by now it's been rolled into an IRA, but they have $950,000 traditional IRA and $50,000 after-tax IRA, and they're interested in getting into the Roth IRA world. You had alluded to there's something that you could do to create basis. What would be one of your strategies for somebody like that?
Well, let's start right now. If you converted everything to the Roth IRA right now, you'd pay tax on $950,000, and $50,000 would be tax-free basis. But let's say you did a 10% conversion. Then $95,000 would be taxable and $5,000 would be basis. Pretty straightforward. Now, what you could do, you could try to roll the $950 back into some type of pension plan. Maybe it's a plan you set up for a consulting business you have. But then, once you did that, that $50,000 is sitting there and it's all basis, Jim, and you would try to convert that over to the Roth IRA. And that creates a situation where you pay no tax at all on the conversion. And in reality, I'd probably tell someone to, you know, maybe convert $100,000, where your tax rate's going to fall to such a low rate that the Roth IRA just becomes extremely powerful.
I think that strategy that we have done numerous times. In fact, actually, Kiplinger Retirement Reports just interviewed me on that exact strategy. Is so powerful because the downside, of course, with the Roth IRA conversion is nobody likes writing a check up front to the government, even though I think that both Bob and I could prove to people that in many, many, if not most cases, it's a very good strategy. But the idea of getting a Roth IRA conversion without having to pay the taxes is wonderful. And I believe that there are some new laws that make it a little bit easier in terms of direct IRA to Roth IRA, or I'm sorry, direct 401k to Roth IRA, as opposed to the old rules that said you had to go from 401k to IRA and Roth IRA.
Right. The law was changed several years ago, and what we can do is we can actually go right from our pension plan into a Roth IRA account. So that's something that's a powerful thing. And, you know, in some cases, and they have to have somebody like you help them sort through that, but it can actually work very well for most people.
Because what you're doing when you do that is you're actually avoiding those proration rules. When Bob was talking about, well, then 10% of it's going to be tax-free and the rest is going to be taxable, or 5%, but But now we're getting into a situation where the entire after-tax portion can go right to a Roth IRA without paying tax, which is just a wonderful thing. And interestingly, Bob, I know that you, like I, go around the country giving talks to train different advisors. And what my experience with that particular issue is that I get more questions about that issue, not the day of my talk, but a week, a month, a year, even several years later, when the advisor is actually trying to put that strategy to work. And I love those calls because I know that that's a good advisor because he's going to the trouble of doing the right thing when his client is retiring. In other words, taking care of the after-tax dollars inside the 401k plan.
Jim and Bob, I have an email question because Jim just mentioned this a minute ago. You said that you could prove that the Roth conversion in most cases would make sense. Well, knowing that you were going to be on the show, Bob, I had some emails coming in, and many people were asking the same question, so I wanted to toss this out to both of you. I got the same question from Florida, the same question from Maryland, and this is what they said. They said, both Jim and Bob are top advisors on Roth IRAs. We know that. But they read material from other advisors around the country who say that in most cases a Roth conversion doesn't make sense. So they wanted to know what your thoughts are or explain why both of you normally advise Roth conversions.
Why don't you take that first, Bob?
Well, first of all, a Roth conversion is not appropriate for everyone. And you need someone to analyze whether it's appropriate for you. Let me give you an example of someone where it's not appropriate. I look at a client, a lady I help, and I charge her hardly nothing, but you know, she makes about just enough so that a little bit of her Social Security benefits are taxable, and she's in this very low tax bracket. A Roth conversion would simply push her into a higher tax bracket, and there's no need for that. Because when she takes money out of the IRA, she's always going to be paying tax at 10 or 15%. So there it's not appropriate. Now, on the other hand, you go to the other extreme, and a lot of times we're working with people with very large net worths, and they know that under the new administration's income tax plan, tax rates are going to go up. So when you look at that, you say to yourself, wow, I really should be converting to the Roth IRA today. But so it's not appropriate for everyone. Let's start there. Secondly, you have to use some of the advantages in the code to make this work. One is you pay attention to these basis rules, which Jim was just going through with us, okay? Secondly, you look at a rule, which Jim's going to have to clarify for us because I'll never explain it correctly, called the recharacterization rule. But that simply means that if I convert $25,000 today, I have up until October 15th, 2010, so over a year, to determine whether I want to keep that money in the Roth IRA. So if I converted $25,000 today and that grew to $35,000, I'd be very, very happy, Beth, with that because I would have won the game. Now, on the other hand, to flip that around a little bit, if it goes the other way and it goes from 25 down to 15, then of course I would erase that. I would recharacterize it and not pay tax on that Roth conversion. So I think you have to be very diligent with understanding these rules. Look for every possible advantage that's going to help you make this work.
Right. I think what they're saying is I think that they're, as a consumer, these aren't financial advisors. These are just people who are trying to figure out their own retirement. They hear conflicting information from people that they consider to be top advisors, and they're just wondering how that could even be possible. But I have to say, in Jim's book, Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later, if you have a copy of that book, we've done the calculations and the charts and graphs are in the book. So you can actually see in black and white what kind of advantage you would have.
Well, I'll say a couple things. One, I think that you have to be careful about who you read and who you listen to. One of the nice things about listening to or reading Bob Keebler, who is literally a nationally recognized expert in IRAs and Roth IRAs, and reading some of my materials that has been peer-reviewed by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and both of us offer nuts and bolts calculations showing that people are better off What I would do is I would go to those advisors who don't advise it and say, let's see your nuts and bolts calculations, please, and have you had this information peer-reviewed. The other thing is I tend to be a little bit more partial to CPAs preparing this kind of analysis, even over and above attorneys and financial advisors. Couple other points that I wanted to expand on. Bob's analysis of the lady who would, by making a Roth IRA conversion, it would increase the percentage that is taxable for her Social Security. So even though she might be in the 10 or 15% bracket, the Roth IRA conversion could cost her 25 or 28%. And I would agree with Bob completely. It would not be appropriate for her. And the other thing that some of the lower income people, and by the way, you could even still be a, quote, lower income person, even if you had $1 million, if most of your money was in a retirement plan, is if you, right now in 2009 and 2010, there's very favorable rules for qualified dividends and capital gains. And sometimes, and this is for people who are in the 15% bracket, you're basically paying 0% on your qualified dividends and capital gains. If you do a Roth IRA conversion, that might bump your income tax bracket up, not just for the conversion, but also now you might end up paying tax on your capital gains and your dividends, your qualified dividends. So I think you have to be careful. I would also agree with Bob. It's not appropriate for everybody. And my big thing is, what is your income tax bracket now when you make the conversion? What will it be after, you know, are you converting so much that you're going to throw yourself into a higher tax bracket? I'm not a great fan of taking a 15% taxpayer and throwing them into a 25 or 28% tax rate with doing a Roth IRA conversion. I think the length of the investment, do you plan to hold this for 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years? The longer, the better. I would say if you're leaving your money to charity, it's probably not a good one. I'll take also the recharacterization rules that I thought Bob did a good job explaining. There's one way I like to explain it, though, that I think is that some people might resonate with. Rather than using the technical word recharacterize, I prefer to use the word undo. So you make, let's say that instead of 2009, when you're listening to this show, let's say it was 2008 and you were listening, and we had the same discussion. Yeah, Roth IRA conversions are wonderful. We'll go out and make a Roth IRA conversion. And let's even say you see the appropriate advisor, you make a $100,000 conversion, and now you're sitting here in 2009 and the Roth IRA is only worth $60,000 or $70,000. What Bob is saying is you might want to, in fact, you do want to recharacterize, or I'm going to use the word undo, that Roth IRA conversion by October 15th, 2009 for a 2008 conversion, or if you do the conversion in 2009, you have until October 15th, 2010 to recharacterize or undo the Roth IRA conversion.
And if you miss the deadline, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late. 412-333-9385. That is the studio line. If you have a question for Jim or Bob, we will be back after a quick break. It's the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking smart money, I'm Beth Bershock with Jim Lang and our guest tonight, Bob Keebler. You just heard mention of the next seminar, and I want to give you the registration number again because we already have quite a few people signed up for this one on Saturday, June 20th. Two sessions, 9:30 and 11:30 in the morning, 1 to 3 in the afternoon. That's the one at Crown Plaza South, which is right across from South Hills Village. We do get filled up, so if you would like to RSVP, I would do that as soon as possible, and that's a toll-free number. It's 1-800-744-7444. 248-1571. By the way, that answers 24 hours a day. So if you want to call sometime tonight, you go ahead and do that. 1-800-748-1571. Jim and Bob, it's at a point where people are, you know, people have been panicking for the past few months, actually longer than the past few months, and they're looking now, they want to be able to retire comfortably and protect their assets. So I know that you two both have a lot of strategies involved in that, in protecting assets.
Well, I'm going to let Bob do the asset protection. I'm going to do one more quick example with the recharacterization, because there's a clever strategy that I like to use. So let's say for discussion's sake that you make a Roth IRA conversion a month from now. And let's say that we all hope that the market's going to go up and you're going to be very happy because you made a $100,000 conversion, and the market will go up to $125,000 or $150,000 and you'll be happy and it'll be done. But let's say that it goes the other way. You make a $100,000 conversion and the asset goes down to $75,000 or $50,000, and now it's getting towards the end of the year and you're feeling not too good about this, because if you just do nothing other than just sit on your $100,000 Roth IRA conversion that's now worth $50,000 or $75,000, you're not going to be very happy, because you still have to pay tax on $100,000, because you pay tax on the amount that the value of the IRA was when you converted it. What we are doing for people in that situation is we are recharacterizing that IRA, but then we're taking a different IRA and we're making a Roth IRA conversion of that different IRA. So let's say you take a different IRA that's worth $100,000. So you, what we're doing here is, it's a little bit tricky, but we're doing the, let's say the first one we do for $100,000. Then if it goes way down the same year, we will recharacterize that and then make a Roth IRA conversion of a different investment for,
let's
say...
It has to be different, right?
It does have to be different for $100,000. And that way the result is you have a Roth IRA that's worth $100,000 instead of a Roth IRA that's worth $50,000 or $70,000. Okay, I just thought I'd throw...
you just wanted to throw that in.
I wanted to throw that in.
But I have to throw in something because we have another caller on the line. This is Gary from East McKeesport, and I think this is going back to something we covered in the first part of the hour, tax loss harvesting. Is that what you wanted to ask about, Gary?
Right.
Okay, what is your question?
Okay, I just want to know if this would be the circumstance for your topic earlier. The mutual fund I had, I held for over 10 years. At its peak last year, I bought it for $250. At its peak last year, it was up to $1,000. It dropped this year, and I liquidated when it got down to about $600-$700. I wonder if this would be a circumstance for the harvesting.
Bob, can you take that one?
Well, so you've incurred a very large gain.
Right.
And if there's losses
and
in other accounts...
When I liquidated the large gain of last year, when it was at its peak of $1,000, I liquidated this year when it dropped to $650.
Right, so your difference between what you paid, roughly $250 and the $650, is a very large gain,
right?
Hopefully long-term capital gain. Now, what you need to look at is, are there other losses in your portfolio that you can use to offset that?
No.
And so if there's no other loss in your portfolio, then, you know, basically you're going to pay income tax on that difference. If there are losses in your portfolio at the end of this year, you could look at harvesting those and using those to offset that gain.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, Gary, from East McKeesport. And if you do have a question, it's 412-333-9385. Okay, we're done with recharacterization, right?
Right.
I'm just checking.
Done with recharacterization. but Bob also has some very good information on asset protection, so I thought maybe we could turn the mic back over to him and let him answer some of your concerns about people wanting to protect their money moving forward.
Right. Bob, do you get people into your office that just go, oh, Bob, I don't even know what to do. I just want to make sure I have money left.
Well, there's two issues there. One is to have the right balance in their portfolio. And that's something that a financial advisor will help them look at, the right mix of stocks and bonds. Then on the asset protection side, there's the other thing of, you know, what if something goes wrong in my life? I'm sued. And so whenever anyone retires out of a pension plan, we want them to work with their lawyer just to make sure that when that money rolls into an IRA, that they're not losing any bankruptcy protection or asset protection that they truly need. For example, when physicians retire, this is a big one, you want to make sure that they're not moving the money, depending what state they're, now you're in a tri-state area, so the law in Ohio, the law in West Virginia, and the law in Pittsburgh, or the law in Pennsylvania, excuse me, are all different. And you want to make sure that when money rolls from that ERISA plan, so the money in my pension plan cannot be taken away no matter what I've done. And great examples of this would be O.J. Simpson or
right.
Bernard Madoff.
Yeah, he still has, O.J. still has that money coming in.
Correct. And so when you look at that, you have to say to yourself, how do I restructure this so that when I move my money from my ERISA plan, I continue to get the asset protection I need? Now, some people, if you're a retired teacher, odds of litigation from your job are very, very low, and are a retired professor. So, but then you just want to make sure you have enough coverage, insurance coverage. But for someone like a physician or a lawyer or an architect, that can go on for a long time. So you want to be very careful with, you know, where you're moving your money. So there is merit for certain professionals to leave the money in the pension plan until they're sure they're that any chance of losses associated with their profession is well behind them.
And how far away from retirement do you need to start really strategizing about that?
Jim, what would you say, 2 to 3 years?
I would say that's a good period, and I very much agree with you. In fact, one of my favorite strategies, and it's interesting that you're saying this because there's so few people that do this one, but I'll tell you what I'm doing, and we haven't discussed this at all, and you can tell me if you think that what I'm doing was foolish, but let's say that I have that example where I have a retiring physician or a retiring attorney or a retiring CPA who gives advice on the radio, and I'm worried that that somebody's going to sue them. And so, and let's assume for discussion's sake they're done with their main job, but they do a little thing. They do some consulting. Maybe they do a little work for the company that they used to work for, or they have some type of earned income. I like to set up a one-person 401k plan, which is, by law, an ERISA plan that does have the asset protection features that you have mentioned. And rather than their IRA being their main asset that holds IRA or qualified or pre-tax dollars, I actually have their own one-person 401k that is still under their control, not under the old employer's control, be the main asset rather than the IRA. And one of the reasons I like to do that is the exact reason that Bob is pointing out, is ERISA protection.
Okay, Bob, he did say you could tell him he was crazy if you didn't like that.
No, I think that's fine.
Okay.
All right. And then there's another reason why I like that, which is a new reason, and that's based on a new tax law. So let's say for discussion's sake that I have $1 million in a retirement plan. I roll it into my own one-person 401k plan, and then I die, and let's say that I leave it to my kids. So my kids have an inherited 401k plan, whereas if I did the normal thing, which was to roll it into an IRA, they would have an inherited IRA. Under the new rules, the kids, the beneficiaries of the 401k, are actually allowed to make a Roth IRA conversion of the inherited 401k, but they're not allowed to make a Roth IRA conversion of the inherited IRA.
That's one of those weird, quirky tax codes.
It is. It's, in my opinion, it's a mistake where somebody wasn't thinking, but it's something that we can take advantage of. So to me, having a one-person 401k as your main IRA, as your main pre-tax money, has two advantages. One is asset protection against creditors, and two, the ability for your kids to roll the money into a inherited Roth 401k.
Jim and Bob, we are down to a few minutes here, so we need to take one more quick break. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Beth Burschak with Jim Lang and special guest Bob Keebler. The hour has flown by, and we are down to our last few minutes. You guys were just, wow. There have been so many strategies on this show tonight. This is my recommendation. This audio is going to be up on our website next week. It's retiresecure.com. So if you want to revisit some of the strategies that Jim and Bob have laid out today, that would be the way to go. Go to the website. Check it out. You can listen to the whole show in its entirety. Hey, Bob, I know you have something new up your sleeve, and I wanted to give you a chance to mention it. It's something called the Big IRA Book.
Well, that's a book that attorney Cecil Smith worked with me on, and Cecil is a lawyer down in Tennessee. And Cecil is a very good artist, and he put together, graphic artist, and he put together this book that walks everyone through all these complicated IRA rules. And if people go out to BigIRA.com, BigIRABook.com, they'll see a little bit of the book. It's mostly, I would say the book is mostly for lawyers and CPAs, financial advisors, is where it's going to have the most utility. But certainly anyone with a very large IRA may get some benefit out of it.
And it literally is a big book. It's something like 17 by 11 and a half.
Well, exactly.
Like
that's the beauty of it. We've taken...
literally.
We've taken what other people put into words, and we put it into, you know, mathematics and graphics, where it's hopefully easier to grab onto.
Jim, Bob, we have about a minute left. Any last thoughts on asset protection that you wanted to share with our listeners, Bob?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, you seriously have to look at two things. One is you want to make sure the capital you have is well protected, meaning that it doesn't fall apart in a bad market. So that's something you work with your financial advisor on. Now, the second thing you need to do is what you work with your lawyer on, and that's making sure that the wealth you have is in places where your creditors simply cannot take it if the worst conceivable thing happens, the $10 million car accident. You also want to make sure that you have adequate insurance. For example, if a person carries a $5 million umbrella policy, and they get into a bad traffic accident, they're going to get the 55-year-old lawyer who's been litigating for 30 years and not the 25-year-old lawyer who graduated from law school last week. And so the beauty of that is that's why you want to make sure that, you know, when you have wealth you're worried about protecting, go ahead, make sure you have adequate insurance coverage, and look at when you start moving money from a pension plan into an IRA, depending what state you're in, you may lose some of that asset protection. So very carefully look into that.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time tonight. We really appreciate it. Guest Bob Keebler, and again, his new book is The Big IRA Book. Check it out at thebigirabook.com. Jim wants to make a special offer, too. We did this last show, and they went fast. So I'm going to give you a phone number here. What are we doing, Jim? Six books, retire, secure, pay taxes later?
Yeah, I think the first six people who either call in or email you.
Okay, and the email address is beth@paytaxeslater.com, or you can call 412-521-2732. If you even just go right to extension 219, in fact, you can do that tonight. If you just punch in extension 219, it'll go right to my extension and request Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. First six people that do that, we will get you one of these books. And again, we had the introduction was written by America's IRA expert, Ed Slott. Larry King of CNN wrote the foreword. We have all kinds of glowing testimonials, Charles Schwab and Jane Bryant Quinn. So this is free. This is for the first six people. Beth@paytaxeslater.com or 412-521-2732 extension 219. And next show coming up in 2 weeks, which will be June, if you can believe it, we're going to be talking about trusts and all sorts of angles, including, I think this is fascinating, myths about trust. So we will be doing that the first week in June. Check out our website, too. It's retiresecure.com. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Portions of the audio that you just heard will be posted online at retiresecure.com. You can also find a list of upcoming events and topics at retiresecure.com. To seek Jim's advice personally or to speak to a member of his dedicated staff at Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, call 412-521-2732. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk more smart money.